Well, are you ready for the Word of God? You're going to hook up with me and believe together with me? Amen. Got your hearing ears on? Amen. Well, we're going to begin in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. We'll come back to it in a minute, but for right now, we'll read verses 8 and 9. Glad that you're with us, as always, online. Glory to God. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Well, back about a month ago, I think it was, we mentioned this scripture. It wasn't the title of our message, but you know, we mentioned this scripture as we got into that message and looked at it from a particular perspective. Matter of fact, that whole message was looking at this scripture from a particular perspective. But I sensed in my spirit then that there was more to it here than I needed to get out. Couldn't do it that service, but there was more to it, you know. And I have continually felt that, but didn't know what it was. But then this week I got clarity about that, and so I know what the Lord wanted me to do. Now, that doesn't mean that there's only two messages that somebody could preach out of this scripture. There's probably 2,000 or more that you could preach out of it. But just the way the Lord was leading me, I knew that He wanted me to say some more about this. Kind of reminds me, I know Brother Hagin wrote that book, How to Write Your Ticket with God. Well, I listened to a tape of him preaching that message that goes all the way back to the 60s. And you know where he got that message? He, in one of his visitations where he saw the Lord, and he's talking to the Lord about different things, the Lord's talking to him about different things. And so while he was there, he asked the Lord, he said, "May I ask you a question?" And he said, "Well, of course." And he said, "You know, I've preached two or three messages on the woman with the issue of blood, but I just sense there's another one there, but I just never have got a full understanding of what that is." And the Lord said, "Well, you're to be commended. The Holy Ghost has been trying to get your attention. There is another message there that I've been trying to endeavor to get you to see so that you could preach it to God's people. But," he said, "since I'm here, I'll give it to you." And God just gave him the message. All there's 4 points to that message. He gave him all 4 points, and that's how he got that message. Now, again, that doesn't mean that you couldn't preach 150 messages or 150,000 messages on the woman with the issue of blood. But you know, that was one that he was trying to get across to him to preach and bring to the body of Christ. So I sensed there was something else here, and I got light on that this week. And so now I can feel comfortable in my spirit and not be, you know, just kind of, again, as Brother Hagin used to say, sometimes it's like, you know, washing with your, taking a bath with your socks on. I was listening to a preacher the other day, and he said, "You know, I actually did that just to get that sensation." He goes, "That's weird." And so sometimes you just go, something's not quite right here. It's just like, you know, taking a bath with your socks on. She's not quite right here. Well, now I feel right about it because I got the other part of this that the Lord wanted me to get across. So this says, and we brought this out before, but I'll just reiterate this. This says, "God's ways and thoughts are higher than our ways and our thoughts. His ways and thoughts are better than ours. They're superior to ours." Amen? And many times they are totally different than ours. We may be thinking, "Man, I need to hunker down." And God's saying, "No, I don't want you to hunker down. I want you to charge." Well, you know, or we may be thinking, "I need to charge," whether it's in business or whatever. "Well, I need to charge." And God's saying, "No, I need you to be still." And so His ways are oftentimes different than our ways. But His ways and His thoughts are always better than ours, always higher than ours. Glory to God. And of course, we should always believe and obey and act on God's ways, and believe and obey and act on God's thoughts. Now, this does not say that we cannot know God's higher ways and thoughts, for certainly we can. Amen. God's thoughts are revealed to us in His Word. The Word of God contains God's thoughts. And God's ways and God's words about specific areas of our life, about what we should do. You know, John or Matthew, Mark, or the book of Acts doesn't tell you what you should do about that guy that you're having problems with on the job. I mean, it does, about walking in love and so forth. But, you know, when it comes to whether you should buy this house or not buy this house, or make this decision or not make this decision, we all have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Amen. And when we're led by the Holy Spirit and we're really following after what He shows us to do and tells us to do, then we are operating in God's higher thoughts and higher ways. But sometimes what He tells us to do is not exactly the way we thought it ought to go. But how many of you know if you really hear from God, you ought to go His way? Amen. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. One thing's for sure, when we do things His way and we operate according to His thoughts, we always get right results. We'll always be protected, and then we're always a blessing to others in some way. Praise God. That's why the devil fights so very hard to deceive people. You know, he'll put some truth in there, but he'll also put some lies in there. He knows if he just tells you an out-and-out lie that you might not accept it, but, you know, he'll mix some truth in with it, which is very deceptive, because he does not want people to operate in God's higher ways and God's higher thoughts. He doesn't want people operating in accordance with the Word. And he wants people to operate and live by ways that are contrary to His ways. Can you say amen? Amen. Well, with that background, let's go to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 13. We'll begin in verse number 17. God, this is right at the beginning of the people leaving Egypt under Moses' leadership. In other words, the final plague, the firstborn have all just died. And so the Egyptians say, Pharaoh says, go ahead and go. This is right at that point. This is the very first thing that happened as Moses led them out of the wilderness. So in Exodus chapter 13, verse number 17, it says, then it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not, everybody say He did not. He did not lead them by the way, by the land of the Philistines. By the way, the land of the Philistines is Gaza. You mean the Gaza Strip like we're here about today? Yes, the exact place. The land of the Philistines was Gaza, the city of Gaza in that area known as the Gaza Strip. And so God did not lead them by the way of the Philistines, although that was near, or as many translations say, that was nearer. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. In other words, it was nearer. It was the shortest way. It was the direct route, and it was an easier route. It was a shorter route. It was the direct route, and it was an easier route. The way the Lord led them was through the hardships of the desert. Now, why would God lead them through the desert, which was hard and difficult and much, much longer, versus leading them the short way, the direct route? Well, whether you ever know the answer to that question or not, how many of you think you ought to do it God's way? Because His ways are higher than our ways. Amen. And so, you know, but just to make it real, if you were driving somewhere and you could easily jump on the interstate and get there in about 2.5 hours, and it'd be a real easy trip on the interstate, but then you really heard from the Lord, you had an impression on the inside of your heart, and God led you to go back roads through small towns that slow you down. And this particular trip is not just small towns, but you have to go through the mountains that are difficult and windy and all that kind of stuff. And instead of it taking you 2.5 hours, it would take you, you know, a little over 5 hours. Well, if God led you to do that, what should you do? You should go God's way. Amen? Amen. Would that be the right way? Yes. Would it be the better way? Yes. Would God have a purpose in telling you to go that way? Amen. I mean, maybe you're going to meet somebody going that back road. You're going to meet somebody at a gas station. You're going to meet somebody when you stop to get a cup of coffee. You're going to pick up a hitchhiker. I don't know. You're going to meet somebody, and God's going to use you to minister to them. Maybe as you go that way, you're going to avoid an accident that's going to knock the interstate down for 5 hours. Anybody ever been on the interstate where it was closed down for hours? That is no fun. Maybe you're going to avoid an accident by going that way. Of course, if you went the interstate, God knows that there's a situation, and He can see, He knows the future, that's going to be just right, where you're going to have an accident. But if you go this way, the other way, even though it takes longer, you're going to avoid that. So His way really is the easier way, even though you think it's the hard way. Now, under that particular scenario, now think about this. This is what would happen. You would go that way, and you'd get to your destination, and nothing happened. That's right. Nothing happened. And you see, you would never know in the natural that that accident was going to happen. But you can still be assured, if you really heard from God and God really did tell you to do that, that there was a purpose for it and there was a reason for it. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So even if you never know why God led you that way, should you do it? You're telling me, even if you don't understand why he's leading you in a certain way, even if you don't agree with it in the natural, like I don't, you know, that's not the right, the Israelites, this is a short way, God, this is a direct way, this is the easiest path. Even if you don't agree with it, you're still saying that his way is the right way. Is that right? Oh, you're a smart bunch. Andrew Womack in his commentary says this. He said, many of the Israelites complained about the hardships of the desert, but the Lord led them by that route because it was easier for them. It's easy for us to tell if the way we are walking is hard, but it's impossible for us to know how much harder things could have been if we had walked a different route. We should be content to know that whatever problems we have while following God, they are less than the problems we would have if we choose our own way. Amen. I said amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, here's something else, from a different commentary. This is good. I like this. He says, Israel's exodus from Egypt wasn't the end of their experience with God. It was the new beginning. If it took one night to take Israel out of Egypt, but 40 years to take Egypt out of Israel. If Israel obeyed his will, God would bring them into the promised land and give them their inheritance. 40 years later, Moses would remind the new generation, he, the Lord, brought you out of Egypt to bring you in to give you the land as an inheritance. Nothing takes God by surprise, for in his providence, he plans the best way for his people to take. We may not always understand the way he chooses or even agree with it, but his way is always the right way. We may confidently say, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And we should humbly pray, show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths, lead me in your truth and teach me. If there had been a military strategist in Israel that night, they probably would have disagreed with the evacuation route God selected because it was too long and too hard. Israel's immediate destination was Mount Sinai. But why take several million people the long way instead of using the shorter, easier route? The answer is because there were Egyptian military posts along the shorter route. This is on the outskirts of Egypt, but you know, this was still, you know, not that exact. It was still part of their overall territory. And they had their military posts there and so forth and so on. And God knew if you go that way, you're not going to be prepared for it. If you go that way, you're going to face the Philistines and you're going to have to fight them because they're going to make war with you. And they are strong and they are fierce. And then the people's heart are going to get discouraged and they're going to want to turn back to Egypt. Now, they should not have been afraid of the Philistines. They should not have been discouraged. They should not have wanted to turn back and go to Egypt. But you know, God was having trouble with this bunch 35 years later. And this is just the very beginning. And he's trying to work some things in them. And so he's saying, they're not ready for this yet. And you can see why I like this guy so much. He's agreeing with me, I guess, you know. But the answer is because there were Egyptian military posts along the shorter route, and the soldiers stationed there would have challenged the Jews. Furthermore, crossing the Philistine borders, the land of Gaza, would have invited their army to attack. And the last thing Israel needed was a war with the neighbors. God knew what he was doing when he chose the longer way. If you permit the Lord to direct your steps, expect to be led occasionally on paths that may seem unnecessarily long and circuitous. Remind yourself that God knows what he's doing. He isn't in a hurry, and as long as you follow him, you're safe and in the place of his blessings. He may close some doors and suddenly open others, and so you've got to be sensitive to that. Now, you've heard me say many times, or if you haven't, I'll say it again, but you know, sometimes the devil closes doors. God's leading us to do something, and the door's closed. Well, if the devil closes the door, you ought to kick it in the name of Jesus. We're going to see where Israel did that. The door was closed on them, and there was no way of escape for them in a minute. But Moses lifted up his rod of authority and split the Red Sea and kicked that door open, so to speak, even though it was closed, so they would not be slaughtered by the Egyptian army that was chasing after them. So I tell people almost everything that God's ever called me to do, there's been many closed doors, but because I knew that God had called me to do it, I did not get detoured. I did not get discouraged, and I just kicked those doors in by faith in the name of Jesus. But you know, sometimes the Lord opens doors. We read in the book of Acts, Paul will say things like, there was an open door of opportunity. Well, when you have that open door of opportunity, what should you do? You should take it. You should go through it. And sometimes God will close doors. And so if it's God's closing the door, then we need to be sensitive to that. Now we're going to come back to Exodus 13. Let me just give you an example of that. Acts chapter 16. Okay, here's what we're doing. When it comes to being sensitive and alert to God's ways, if you're going to be sensitive to God's ways and leadings and higher thoughts and higher purposes, then you're going to have to be led by the Spirit of God, and you're going to have to know when God is opening a door and when God is closing a door. So in Acts chapter 16, verse number 6, it says, "Now when they," that's Paul and Silas, at this particular time it's not Paul and Barnabas anymore, it's Paul and Silas, "when they," Paul and Silas, "had gone through Perga and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia." So they're out on their missionary journey, and they're walking along and moving along, and then they have a leading in their spirit, a check in their spirit. You know, God sometimes leads you more by red lights than He does green lights. They had a check in their spirit, and they knew they shouldn't go. They were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to go. Well, you know, what if they say, "Well, you know, we're right here. Those people need the Lord. They're heathens over there. They're really bad heathens over there. They need the Lord as bad as anybody else. Why, you know, and why shouldn't we just go right here?" What if they'd have just blown through that closed door? Well, they wouldn't have got the right kind of results, would they? They would have missed God. So they were forbidden by the Holy Ghost. So passing by Messiah, that's verse number 6. "After that, they came to Mysia and tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them." That's interesting, isn't it? I mean, they're going in one direction, and God says, "Don't go there." Now, they just didn't stop and stand still. You know, it's hard to direct a stopped car. But you if you get the car rolling in a movie, then you can direct it. So I always tell people, the Spirit of God will lead you as you are moving, because it's easier to be led as you're moving. So go! And just keep going unless the Lord stops you. Amen? Go ahead and decide to go to that mission trip. Go ahead and decide to go to that nursing home. Go ahead and just go. Don't just wait for the Lord to tell you something to do something. Just go do it. But as you're going, then the Lord can direct you and move you and get you into the right place. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe that's why a lot of people just sit in the same place sometimes for years and don't ever do anything. No, just go. Amen. And so the Lord stopped him. And then in verse number 9 it says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man in Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them." Now they've got, you know, now they know where the Lord wants them to go. And then they go there and they have great meetings there. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, back to Exodus. Praise God. So they come out of, they leave Egypt. God leads them not the short route, not the easy route, but He leads them the hard way, the long way. But you can see that God had a particular purpose in that. Verse number 7 says, "Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the land of the Philistines, although that was nearer. For God said, 'Lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt.'" Now, look at Exodus chapter 14. Right after this. Amen. "Now the Lord spoke to Moses, speaking to the children of Israel, and He tells them that they turn and camp at a particular place, between a particular sea, opposite a particular city. You shall camp right before the sea." In other words, God told them to camp in a very, very specific place. Can you see that? I mean, this is a very specific, this is what God's telling them to do. And so they did it. Verse number 3. "For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, 'They are bewildered, they're confused, they're bewildered by the land, and the wilderness has closed them in.'" In other words, God says, "I want you to camp right here." Now again, if you're a military tactician, you're going, Moses, we can't do this. Why? Because Pharaoh is watching us. He's already mad. His firstborn child has died. He's not happy about letting us go. He's changed his mind all these many times. He's looking. He wants to come out and get us and destroy us all. And you're putting us in a terrible position. Pharaoh is going to see this. He's going to see and understand that exactly where we're camped, there's nothing but the Red Sea is before us. See, and there's no, you can't go that way. We don't have, let me tell you how many boats we have, Moses. 10-0. There's 3 or 4 million of us. We got 0 boats. That's the Red Sea. There's mountains to our right and there's mountains to the left. These mountains have outposts of the Egyptian army. They're fortified and they're strong. And Pharaoh is going to say, I got them. The Red Sea is before them. They can't go to the right. They can't go to the left. I'm going to gather all my army together, which was quite formidable. Greatest army on the face of the earth at that time. He says, and I'm going to come up from behind them. So I'm coming from behind them. They can't go to the right. They can't go to the left. And they can't go across the Red Sea. He said, I got them. I got them. So should you camp there? Not in the natural. But did God lead them to camp there? See, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Amen. And so, in other words, they're trapped with no way of escape. Amen. And God himself had specifically put them in that position. I mean, this looked like not just a mistake, but a bonehead mistake. Amen. I said amen. But in fact, even though Moses and the Israelites couldn't see it at the time, this was a trap God was setting for Pharaoh. Amen. So even though this seemed like a big mistake, God's ways are what? Higher than our ways. Amen. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And his ways are always superior. They're always right. They're always best. And when we step out and obey them in faith, we'll always get right results. So Pharaoh with his hardened heart, Pharaoh with his angry heart, gathered his great army to pursue Israel and to destroy them. So verse number 10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? They saw what was going on. We're trapped. He's coming after us. He's going to slaughter us. Verse number 12, is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, we may serve the Egyptians? These guys. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more. Amen. So Moses, what Moses said is great. I really like that. Amen. He said, verse 14, the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. So shut up and stand still. But then evidently, as the army got closer and closer and closer, even Moses got a little wobbly. Because in verse number 15, and the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Now Moses said, stand still, but now here God comes with his higher way. He said, go forward. Well, maybe we could slip a few of us out, and maybe 10% of us will save we'll save the nation and save our if a few of us can slip through the mountains. But if we go forward, Lord, they're going to slaughter us because we can't go nowhere. He told them to go forward. Amen. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Well, God told Moses to lift up his rod. He said, why are you crying out to me? And when I preach on the scripture, I always go, well, I don't know, Lord. Seemed like a pretty good time. we're trapped. There's no way to go. They got murder in their heart, and they're going to slaughter us all. The guy said, why are you crying out to me? He's not just saying, Moses, you see, that rod represented God's power. And God had given Moses that power. He had delegated him the right to use that power. Just like you and I have delegated authority to use the name of Jesus to use, and when we use the name of Jesus, God's power backs us up. Hallelujah. So he said, you do something about it, Mo. You do something about it. Reminds me of Norval, guys, when I was, you know, he tells that story about Zona and her warts and so forth, growths really all over her body. And at one time, I think he's in a visitation for him that he sees the Lord. And the Lord says, when are you going to do something about those warts on her body? And he's kind of like, me? What do you mean, me? When am I going to do something? I mean, you know, you're God. Why don't you do something? And he's saying, no, you do something. I already told you to use the name of Jesus. Glory to God. And sometimes we're sitting there crying out to God and God's saying, you do something. You step out in faith. You use your authority. You move forward. You bind the devil and you do what you know you can do. So the rod represented God's power, which he had delegated to be used by Moses. And he says, lift up your rod, use my power and divide the Red Sea. You will cross over safely, but Pharaoh and his entire army will be destroyed. And I'm going to get glory, and Pharaoh is going to be defeated, and you're going to be victorious. How many of you think that God's way was a better way? Amen. But you know the story. Just imagine you don't know the story, and you're trapped. And here's this whole army, great army, mighty army coming after you, and it looks like you're all going to die. And you're thinking, we're camped exactly where God told us to camp. I know some ministers, they're wondering why they were put where they're put. Like, God, did you really lead me here? I never thought that. Praise, you know. Glory to God. Well, this is so good, and this is a Bible study. Let's just take time to read it. Exodus 14, beginning with verse number 16. Lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go up on dry land through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so they will follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots and the horsemen. And the angel of God, who went before the camp of Israel and provided them light, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from them, before them, and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus, it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. In other words, it stood between them and the Israelites and Pharaoh and all his army. It's just pitch black and they can't see anything because God's fighting the battle for them. Can you say amen? Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, verse 21, and caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued, you'd think, you'd go, you know, maybe we better back off here. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud. He troubled or confused the army of the Egyptians. He took off their chariot wheels. The Amplified Bible says, He made their chariot wheels hard to turn and difficult to drive. You ever get one of those carts like at Walmart or something? You know. Yeah. I don't think that's God in that case. That may be the devil, but that's what he did. So that they drove them with difficulty, and the Egyptians said, "Let it." Now they finally get a clue, but it's too late. Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh. came into the sea after them, not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel. He delivered Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt, but the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. So here's a great example of God's ways and thoughts being higher than our ways, being different than ours. Again, a military strategist would have said, this is a bonehead move, Moses. And see, his way didn't seem right to the natural man. But again, his way is always right. We can know his ways and thoughts. And if we will step out in faith and act on his ways and his thoughts, then God will be glorified. We will get the victory. We will successfully do the work that the Lord has called us to do. And when we successfully do what God has called us to do, that means somebody, some people, some nation, some people get blessed. So it's a win-win-win situation all the way around. Can you say amen? Now let's go back to Isaiah 55 and read it, the second part of this. Isaiah 55. Isn't that good? Isaiah 55, verse number 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Amen. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and did not return there, but waters the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God's thoughts are revealed to us in his word, and he says, my word shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise God, hallelujah. I said, praise God, hallelujah. Now let me just give you a couple of thoughts from a couple of people. Look up the scripture about I have not heard nor ear seen. Amen. So this is from Brother Hagin, just a little short devotional. He quotes Isaiah 58, my thoughts, not your thoughts. He says, you can read what the Bible says, and from the natural standpoint, it doesn't sound reasonable sometimes. But these verses in Isaiah have helped me greatly. Isaiah is contrasting our thoughts, man's thoughts, with God's thoughts. He says that God's thoughts, or God's way of thinking, is higher than man's way of thinking. The Bible contains God's thoughts. If you want to know God's thinking on any subject, see what the Bible says on that subject. Now, if your mind has not been renewed with the Word of God, it's difficult for you to think in line with God's way of thinking. You get your mind renewed with the Word of God by meditating on it. I'm going to read that again. You get your mind renewed with the Word of God by meditating on it. And even if your mind hasn't been renewed, you still may not understand. Even if your mind has been renewed, you still may not fully understand with your natural mind everything the Bible says. But if you'll just act on the word from your spirit or your heart, it will work for you. It will work for you. Keeping these verses in Isaiah in mind, let's read Mark 11:23 again. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. To the natural mind, this verse doesn't sound reasonable. It's a different kind of thinking. It's God's way of thinking. Good Christians who are dedicated and consecrated to God have said to me, I'm not going to believe I have something I can't see. If I say I have something I don't have, then I'm lying. They miss the whole things because God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Say this with me. Say, God's thoughts and ways are higher than my thoughts and ways. I renew my mind with the Word of God so that I can think God's thoughts and so that I can know His ways. Can you say amen? Amen. You got that scripture for me? 1 Corinthians 2:9. I wanted to bring this out here real quick. 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. One of the most quoted passages in the Word of God. But it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. You just never know what God's going to do. You can't know His ways. I mean, Well, read the next verse. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all the things, yes, the deep things of God. Amen. Amen. Thank God. We can know His ways. We can know His ways. Now, this is from Mark Brzee, a little short devotional. Quotes, my thoughts, not your thoughts, neither my ways, your ways. He goes on to quote verses 10 and 11, for as the rain comes, now listen to this, he makes a good point here. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that he may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. God's ways aren't our ways. His ways and His thoughts are as far above us as the heavens are above the earth. But God put His higher ways and thoughts into His Word and then gave them to us. As we feed on that Word, our thoughts become like His thoughts and our ways like His ways. How does the process take place? Only through the Word. Now watch this. He's going to describe the process. Folks often say, well, I tried the Word and it just didn't work. If the Word of God isn't working in your life, perhaps you aren't returning it to Him because He said, my Word shall not return unto me void. My Word shall not return unto me void. How do we return the Word of God? This is what I want you to get said. How do we return the Word of God? The only way is with our mouth saying, Father, I thank You that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Thank You for sending Your Word to heal me. See, or whatever word that it is. When you speak the Word out, when you confess the Word, when you speak the Word that you do believe in your heart, God sent His Word to us as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven. We are to take the seed of Word of God that came to us from heaven and plant it in our hearts. We cause that seed to grow and develop by feeding upon the Word of God. As Brother Hagin said, by meditating on the Word of God. Then we return it to the Lord with a confession of our faith. We know that faith releases the belief that's in our heart, or that it activates the faith that's in our heart. But He's saying, listen, that you're returning, when you confess the Word, you're returning that Word to God, and God said, my Word will not return unto me void. Amen. Amen. So find an area in your life where the Word isn't working. Fill your heart with God's promises pertaining to that need. Then return the Word to Him by holding fast your confession of faith. And as you do your part, God will make sure His Word will not return void. Can you say amen? I said, can you say amen? Now, as I was thinking about this today, and I said, oh man, I got to contact Dean. Dean wrote a beautiful song. Dean's wrote a lot of beautiful songs, a lot of Word songs. And Dean, I remembered, and I remember this song, wrote a song about Isaiah 55, these scriptures we're reading. So I want him to minister that to you right now. Praise God. Amen. Tell him that you love him and appreciate him. Praise God. Oh, come on. Here, come on now. Thanks, Dean.
So the last part of the song is taken out of Psalm 138, verses 2, where it says, Thou hast magnified Thy Word above Thy very name. And so keep that in mind as I'm singing out of Isaiah, that Psalm 138, verse 2 kind of goes along with it. And so this is something, it's something I live. That's the way Sherry and I live our lives. And a lot of you live our lives planting the seeds of the Word of God and seeing the harvest in our life. And we're so blessed. And so I just thank God for this. But anyway, I think I wrote this song back in 1981, something like that. So it's an oldie. As the rain and snow down from heaven and do not return, but water the earth and make it bring forth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be, so shall my word be, that goes forth out of my mouth. You shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing that I set it to do, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be, so shall my word be, that goes forth out of my mouth. Thou hast made, thou hast magnified, thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. Thou hast magnified, thou hast magnified, thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. Thou hast magnified, thou hast magnified, thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. Thou hast magnified, thou hast magnified, thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. So shall my word be, so shall my word be, that goes forth out of my mouth. So shall
Amen. That's more perfect than I realized it was going to be. Praise God. Been a while since I heard you sing that song. You know why God magnified his word above his name? Because if your word's no good, your name's no good. When you sign a contract, you have words, then you sign your name to them. I magnified. Amen. And as we close here, I think of, you know the story, but it goes right along with what we're talking about. The disciples, you know, some of them, you know, they were Peter and James and John. You know, they were fishermen. That was their trade. That was their business. That's how they made their living. And they had fished all night and caught nothing. And they were washing their nets. Now, that didn't mean you took them to the garden hose and sprayed them off in, you know, 30 seconds. That took some effort. And Jesus told them, go back out, let down your nets for a catch. Well, that was God's higher ways and his higher thought. And they're going, you know, Jesus, you're a carpenter. We're fishermen. We fished all night. And you know how many fish we caught? None. we've already got the nets washed, and you want us to go out and dirty them up and uselessly put them back in the water. But Peter didn't say that, did he? He might have thought it, but he didn't say it. He said, nevertheless. Nevertheless. He did say, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. In essence, say, there's no point in this. But he said, nevertheless, at your word, we will do it. That's all we have to do. Nevertheless, your word says it. That like Brother Hagin said, even if you don't fully understand, you don't have to fully understand it for it to work for you. Just be a doer of it. Just act on it in faith. Praise God. And his word will not return void. It will accomplish the thing which he sent it to do. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Let's stand up together. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you glad for his higher ways and higher thoughts? Do you think maybe from his perspective and the fact that he's all-powerful, and I won't use the deep theological words, but he's all-powerful and all-knowing and all-wise. He is God Almighty that created the heavens and the earth. Do you think he might just be a little bit smarter than us? So just do. So whatever he says, just do it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Praise God.